What's up, Foos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me, about to get them, all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
There's something chilling about the unseen, the way it lurks just beyond the edge of perception, waiting for the right moment to make itself known. Tonight, we bring you the story of Clara, a young woman whose seemingly ordinary life unraveled when she opened the door to something she didn't fully understand. What began as a curious experiment with a Ouija board turned into a connection she could never have anticipated and might never escape. Clara's experience wasn't just about fleeting shadows or strange noises. It was personal, emotional, and deeply unsettling. The spirit she encountered, a figure known only as N, appeared to be lost, confused, and desperate for her attention. But as Clara would soon learn, not everything that reaches out to you from the other side has good intentions. Was Clara's connection to N an innocent bond with a lonely soul? Or was it the beginning of something much darker, an attachment that would test the limits of her sanity, her health, and her very safety? Let's get to the letter. They write, "Dear Tony, I never thought I'd find myself writing to you, but after everything that's happened, I need someone to hear my story, someone who might understand. It all started a little over a year ago when my roommate Ellie and I moved into an old house in the middle of nowhere. The rent was cheap and it had that cozy charm we thought would be perfect. Little did we know it wasn't just the two of us who'd be living there. The first week was uneventful. We unpacked, settled in, and laughed about how creaky the floors were and how the windows didn't quite shut all the way. But there was this stillness about the house. Not the kind that feels peaceful, more like the kind that feels like you're being watched. I chalked it up to nerves. After all, moving into a new place is always a bit unsettling. Then the little things started. It was subtle at first. I'd close a door, only to find it open later. I'd set something down, and it wouldn't be where I left it. Ellie thought I was imagining things, but I knew I wasn't. And then there was the smell. It came out of nowhere. This faint, smoky scent, like a campfire that had just burned out. I'd ask Ellie if she smelled it too, but she'd always say no. One night, Ellie suggested we use a Ouija board. She's always been into the paranormal, claims she has a gift and can sense things most people can't. I wasn't thrilled about the idea, but I went along with it. She said it might help us figure out why the house felt so strange. We lit a few candles and set up the board in the living room. At first, nothing happened. Then the planchette started to move. Slowly at first, then with more force, it spelled out random letters that didn't make any sense, like NPJ or NOK. I laughed nervously, assuming Ellie was pushing it, but she swore it wasn't her. After a while, we asked the spirit if it had a name. The planchette jerked toward the letter N and then stopped. We asked again, and it moved to N every time. Ellie said, "Maybe we should just call you N," and to my surprise, the planchette shot to yes. That night, I barely slept. Every time I closed my eyes, I felt like someone was standing next to my bed, just watching. I kept telling myself it was my imagination, but deep down, I knew it wasn't. The next morning, things got even stranger, and I woke up feeling exhausted, like I hadn't slept at all. When I went into the kitchen, I noticed the chair at the table was pulled out, like someone had been sitting there. I asked Ellie if she'd been up, but she said no. Then, as I was heading out the door to work, I smelled it again, that campfire smoke. This time it was so strong I could almost taste it. It wasn't until I got in my car that I realized I wasn't alone. I didn't see anyone, but I could feel it. Like someone was sitting right there in the passenger seat. The air felt heavier and my chest tightened. I tried to ignore it, but as I turned on the radio, I felt this strange wave of joy wash over me. It wasn't mine. It was like someone else's emotions had flooded into me. By the time I got to work, I was on edge. During a quiet moment in training, my pen rolled across the table on its own. It wasn't a big movement, but it was enough to make me freeze. I whispered, "Om, stop," and it did. Over the next few days, Ann made himself known in other ways. He'd move small things around the house, like my keys or a coffee mug. Once I felt the lightest touch on my shoulder, like someone brushing past me. And then there was the music. My playlist started to change, playing songs I hadn't listened to in years but had loved as a teenager. It was almost sweet. Ellie warned me not to get too attached. She said spirits like N could seem friendly, but they often had their own agendas. I wanted to believe she was wrong. N felt harmless, maybe even protective. But deep down, I couldn't shake the feeling that I was in over my head. As the weeks went on, Anne's presence became stronger. It wasn't just the little things anymore. I'd feel him everywhere. When I was brushing my teeth, cooking dinner, or trying to fall asleep, there was this constant sense of being watched, but not in a menacing way. It was almost affectionate. Ellie, however, grew more uneasy. One night, she pulled me aside and told me we needed to stop engaging with N. She said she'd been having strange dreams, hearing whispers at night, and feeling cold spots in her room. I didn't want to admit it, but I'd been having the same experiences, and that's when Ellie suggested we build a ghost box. She thought it might help us figure out exactly what or who we were dealing with. Using an old radio and some spare parts, we rigged up a makeshift device that would allow us to hear spirit voices. The first time we used it, the air in the room felt electric. Ellie asked if there were any spirits with us, and almost immediately, we heard a faint, crackling voice say, "Yes." My heart stopped. Then Ellie asked how many, and after a pause, the box responded, "Five." I felt a chill run down my spine. Five spirits? Ellie asked their names, but we only got fragments, static, distorted sounds, and occasional bursts of clarity. One name came through clearly, though, N. Over the next few days, we started piecing together what we could. There were three male spirits, one female, and N. Ellie believed the female spirit was crying. She'd wake up in the middle of the night to the sound of soft sobbing. As for the others, we weren't sure. They didn't feel as friendly as Eden. One night, we decided to take pictures around the house, hoping to capture evidence of what we'd been experiencing. When we reviewed the photos, I nearly dropped my phone. In one image, taken in the living room, we could see faint, shadowy figures. Three were seated, one on the couch, one in a chair, and one by the trash can. The fourth, a woman, stood near the kitchen. And the fifth, he was standing right next to me. It was N. I knew it without a doubt. He was taller than the others, his figure towering over me. Seeing him there so close made it all feel real in a way I wasn't ready for. After that, things took a darker turn. I started getting sick, headaches, fatigue, and this overwhelming sense of heaviness that wouldn't go away. Ellie said it was because N was draining my energy, using me to stay connected to our world. I didn't want to believe her, but deep down I knew she was right. One night, desperate for relief, I asked a youth group leader I trusted to pray for me. She agreed, but as soon as she started, the room grew cold. I felt this crushing weight on my chest, like something was trying to keep me from speaking. My leader said she could feel it too. A cold sweat ran down her back as she prayed. That night, I thought N was gone. The house felt quieter, lighter. But a month later, Ellie and I moved into a new place. And he followed. The new house was different, smaller, newer, and less intimidating. But N's presence was still there, and now it wasn't just him. Ellie and I could sense other spirits, too. She kept her distance, refusing to engage, but I couldn't help myself. I wanted to know more about N, who he was, why he was attached to me, and what he wanted. One night, I sat in the living room alone and asked him outright, "Why are you here?" The ghost box crackled to life, and through the static, I heard a single word. "You!" It was simple, but it said everything. N wasn't protecting me or haunting me. He was just attached. I wish I could say I found a way to let him go, but I haven't. He's still here, always watching, always near. I don't know if I'll ever be free of him, or if I even want to be. There's a part of me that feels connected to him, like we're two lost souls who found each other in the dark. But sometimes, late at night, when the house is quiet and the campfire smoke fills the air, I wonder, what am I really dealing with? Sincerely, Clara. There's something profoundly unsettling about Clara's story, a tale of connection, attachment, and the unknown forces that might exist just beyond our understanding. What strikes me most is how personal this haunting became. And wasn't just a passive presence. He was active, emotional, and, in a strange way, deeply human. But here's the question that lingers. Was N truly a benevolent spirit? Or was his kindness a veil for something more sinister? From a psychological perspective, it's possible Clara's experiences could stem from a combination of heightened emotional states, environmental factors, and suggestibility. The mind, when placed in a setting as old and atmospheric as Clara's home, can easily blur the line between reality and imagination. Sleep deprivation, stress, and even subtle environmental changes like electromagnetic fields could explain some of the sensations and phenomena she described. But then, there are the photographs, the ghost box responses, and the physical sensations Clara felt, things that seem to defy logical explanation. Could N truly be a lost soul from another time tethered to Clara for reasons neither of them fully understand? Or could there be something darker at play? An attachment that grows stronger with every passing day, feeding on Clara's energy and emotions. What's most compelling about Clara's story is the bond she feels with N. It's a connection that many might find difficult to understand or even dangerous. Yet it also raises a profound question. If spirits are real and they can feel, what responsibility do we have to them? Are they here because they need us or because we need them? As we close this chapter, one thing remains clear. Clara's journey is far from over. Whether N is a guardian, a lost soul, or something else entirely, their bond is a haunting reminder of how thin the veil between worlds might truly be. And perhaps the scariest question of all is the one Clara asked herself, can you ever truly sever a bond with the unseen? Until next time, stay safe, stay curious, and remember, some connections are harder to break than others.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.